Let us pray. Gracious God, you have given us the ability to come together. We thank you for that. We have heard your words read. Now, as I speak upon them, let those words come to us all. And may anything I say be acceptable in your sight, coming from you and not from me alone. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Friday night, we watched a movie called I'm Not Him. And it was about this guy, just an ordinary mid-level executive kind of guy, who was diagnosed with stage 4 lymphoma, a cancer of your white blood cells. His prognosis was not good, so he and his family were kind of upset about that. But he was a faithful man, and he did what all faithful people should do. He prayed for healing, and he was healed. It was a miracle. The medics around him, the doctors, nurses, they didn't call it that. They said, wow, spontaneous, what's it called? When you revert. Anyway, spontaneous, just, regeneration. But it was a miracle. Now, while he was in hospital for tests, right after he was pronounced cancer-free, he met a little girl with cancer and her parents. And she was probably hopeless. But he talked with them. And then he visited them. Went to their home and visited them. And he spent some time with this little girl alone. She was about 12 years old, I guess, in this movie. And he told her about God, about faith, what had happened to him. And they prayed together. And she was healed. A word got out. Pretty soon, he was besieged by sick people. Just like Jesus in Scripture, right? People were healed, and people gathered around him. He was besieged by sick people, and he, quotes, healed some of them, but not all. Man quit his job so he could devote full time to healing people. Some people called him a charlatan, but others had faith in him, or what he was teaching about faith and prayer for healing. But eventually, he was arrested for manslaughter because some of the people that he counseled about praying for healing died anyway. Apparently, they had refused treatment from their doctors because if they just died, well, yeah, that's one thing. But they refused treatment. And so he went to court, and he defended himself. And you know what they say about people who defend themselves? You've got a fool for a client. But he was there, and he was going to be shown guilty, but God showed up. God showed up. Kind of hit the judge and the prosecutor real hard. It was a closed hearing. There were no ones there. And he was vindicated. You know what he said? He said to the judge and the prosecutor, don't tell anybody what happened. Who's that sound like? Sounds like Jesus again. When he healed, he said, go in. You know, the Gerasene demoniac, he healed him. He said, don't tell anybody. So what'd the guy do? He went and blabbed it all. Hence, Jesus was besieged by people. But he was freed. And he continued his healing ministry until the day he died. Do things like that actually happen today? I think so. Forget it, I think so. Certainly they do. It's just that most people... You watch Benny Hinn on TV. I'm not even sure he's still alive. You call somebody up and he said, hey, you're healed! And smack him in the forehead, they'd fall down. You know, this kind of stuff. I don't buy that. But I do believe there are people in this world who can facilitate healing from God through touch, through prayer. Have you ever known a really good nurse or a really good doctor? They've got a gift of healing. Not like God's instantaneous touch, but they've got a gift. Well, this movie was just a movie. I don't know if it was based on anything. But the story was worthwhile in spite of the artistic license that was all involved in that, because During the entire course of the story, the man never claimed to be able to heal. He maintained that God did the healing. And it was the people's faith that he spoke with and that he prayed with was the root and the cause of their recovery. There was strength in their faith. When he was charged with manslaughter, it was because those people who had died were not truly faithful. They were just looking for a quick and easy fix to their stories. Now, Luke tells us a similar tale here to the thing. 10 sick people, lepers, who may or may not have been terminal. Leprosy is not, well, ultimately it is, but you can live with leprosy for decades. But they were outcasts, and they came to Jesus for healing. Jesus had compassion on them and healed them all. He said, go see the priests, and on their way they were healed. Only one came back to say thank you. And Jesus said to him, your faith has made you well. Which beggars the question then, why did he heal the other 9 if they had no faith? Jesus knows. But this man expressed it, and it was his faith. Maybe because of that one's faith, Jesus healed them all. Now, people throughout history have surmounted obstacles because of their faith and through faith. Remember Noah? He was reviled for 120 years. He built the ark. People made fun of him, picked on him all the time. He kind of avoided him. But he built it because of his faith and what he could do and would do. Noah and his family, therefore, survived. Well, nobody else did. You know, Noah was a terrible evangelist. He had 120 years to reach people with this boat. And the news that what God was going to do, nobody but his family. But he persevered in it. Look at Joseph. Joseph also had great faith that sustained him his whole life. His brothers tormented him, sold him into slavery. And yet he wound up leading Egypt. Joseph's faith saved not only himself, but his whole family, which eventually led to the rise of the Hebrew people. All of God's prophets had faith. Jonah took some convincing because he ran away, but the others, even though they balked at God, said, oh, I can't talk, or I'm just a kid, whatever, they all had faith to carry on. They had abuse, they were persecuted, they had death threats, some of them were killed. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Elijah, they were all persecuted. But because they had their faith in the God that told them and had them prophesy, they went through. There is strength unimaginable in true faith. Even himself, Jesus, had faith. He had good reason to. I mean, he knew what it was all about. Yet if you read the end of his life in the Gospels, you see that Jesus had faith in God. Then you had a guy named Saul, a man of deep faith who was a Pharisee, and he persecuted the church. Jesus caught up with him. And all of a sudden, he found that his Jewish faith was lacking. It was deep, it was real, but it was lacking. And he became Paul, the greatest evangelist the world has ever seen. And I doubt there'll be anybody ever like him again. But God, who knows what God can do? God can do anything. Maybe I should say, who knows what God will do? When writing to Timothy, Paul says, remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel. That's what he was teaching everywhere. But it's actually a mistake because it's not Paul's gospel, per se, but it's the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul preached that good news, even though, again, as he tells Timothy, I suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal, but the word of God is not chained. Paul had faith that things were going to work out. He continued in all his deals until he actually disappears from the screen. The last true knowledge of Paul we have is he was a prisoner in Rome. Some traditions say that he was released and went to Spain. Other traditions say he was killed there, crucified. Who knows? Beside that, though, Paul is, in many ways, our exemplar. He's one that we should be emulating all the time. Now, again, Paul has his faults. Some people hate reading Paul, but Paul has his faults. He can be arrogant. He's arrogant in the truth, so you can excuse him for that, but still his manner, he's arrogant. He's stubborn, and he's opinionated, but all for God's glory and the sake of the gospel. Paul faced dangers, abuse, ridicule, ostracism, but he persevered. Because of him, we are here today. His faith brought us here. We've all faced problems and difficulties in our life. I bet none like Paul's, though. Well, that's not true. Because many people today are still living in the same kind of problematic situation as Paul. They face difficulties every day for the sake of the gospel. I've personally met some of these people, especially people from the People's Republic of China. They were arrested, they were beaten, imprisoned, forced labor, all for the sake of the gospel. They preached when they weren't supposed to. They sang when they weren't supposed to. They studied scripture when they weren't supposed to. They wound up in prison. Again, beaten, abused. But they persevered and survived because of their faith. Even though many were killed, many were not. And this is still happening in China. All over the world, there are fellow believers who live in fear. It's a reasonable fear, because it's real. Iran, Sudan, Saudi Arabia, China, Nigeria, many other places, it is illegal to be a Christian. It's illegal right now in many places for us to meet like this. In fact, when I was in China 30 years ago, we had a small gathering in our hotel room. We had a worship service. And the only reason that we were not in trouble for it was because we were foreigners. And it would have been a very bad international incident if people like us who were there to meet with the Chinese government were arrested for worshiping. When you're caught in places like that, especially where Islam is in charge, places that know ISIS and the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, the Republican Guards, whatever the name may be, if you are found out to be a Christian in those places, it is often a death sentence. And whatever the name you attach to those people, they are tools of Satan, enemies of God, enemies of Christians and the Christian faith. But not here. Not here in the United States. Not yet. We've been blessed by God in this nation. A place where we, and truth be told, anyone else of any other faith tradition can worship freely without fear of arrest and imprisonment. It's a place unique, I think, in the world today. Maybe in all history. Anyone can worship without fear of retribution. And our whole lives, faith has been easy. Living faithfully was easy. But it's getting harder as time goes by. Not like the good old days. Within our living memories, being a Christian posed no danger at all. It was a benefit, socially in many ways. We might be ridiculed, reviled, made fun of. And that was about it. You ever get picked on by somebody for being a Christian, for going to church? Steve Jobs said, he was a devout Buddhist, which is kind of a contradiction in terms, but that's how he described himself. One said, I have better things to do than waste an hour on Sunday morning going to church. He was one who would revile you and make fun of you. But today, coming out as a faithful Christian is more problematic than coming out as a gay person living in the closet. Usually, it's non-threatening dangers here, but you can lose friends, and they don't like that. You can alienate family members, offending people you don't know, have problems with your neighbors, all kinds of mundane things, really. But you can get through all those things because there is strength in faith. Christians today are maligned as closed-minded and bigoted. We're judgmental. Don't you judge me. We are judgmental, according to those outside, because our values don't match those of the world. People who are in favor of abortion call themselves pro-choice and label Christians as anti-choice or anti-abortion. If you flip that around, though, and make that pro-abortion and pro-life, that kind of hits the culture. They don't like that. You find somebody who's pro-choice and tell them they're pro-abortion, they'll deny it. Or tell them they're pro-murder, they'll deny it. But that's what it is. Christians are not anti-anything. We are for God, for following the Word. And that makes us stand against a lot of things in the world, so the world says we are against. Following the Word is not easy. But strength through faith. Faith is strength. God's strength can see you through anything, even death. One of the things that Andrew and I have wondered about for years, how do people who aren't Christians handle death? I've done a lot of funerals in my life, and so many of them were people that were really not people of faith, so we did memorial services for them. But we've often wondered, how do these people cope? Now, they handle their own death okay. I mean, you're dead. Fine. Then they wind up facing God, and who knows what happens there, but the death of a loved one? How do you deal with that? Who can they lean on? Other people, sure. But ultimately, who can they lean on? And we've all lost somebody in our lives. Maybe many somebodies. We all somebodies. But ask yourself, how did you survive all those losses? I can't tell you for you, but for me, it's God. God's the only way you can handle a lot of those things. Same goes for sickness. Like the man in the movie I told you about who had cancer. Terminal cancer. But God. But God. We all know sick people. We might be sick people. How do us and them cope? Well, again, I'd wager it's God. It should be God with strength and faith. When you find out you're sick or something is wrong, we should turn to God first, not last. Do you deal with physicians? Oh, yeah, sure. But God is first. You bet. God's first. I have personal experience. I have a weird disease. Diagnosed in 2009. Made me an invalid for almost 2 years. I got up out of bed in the morning, sat in a recliner, went back to bed at night. Did nothing else for almost 2 years. I died from it, but came back. People would ask me, why you? Why do you have this? You're a good guy. Hey, you're a preacher. Why you? You know what I said? Why not me? Why not me? Why not you? We are Christians. We are not physically immortal. We are exposed to the vagaries of the world. We have accidents. We get sick. We die. Why not me? Why not you? I got through the worst of my condition, thanks to my personal angel. And God. That's the wrong order, sorry. God first. He gave me the angel. But there is strength in faith, and that's how we both got through it. I'm still dealing with it. I'm still listed as 100% disabled. But we live with it. And that's why we're here today, because of God's strength through faith. Without it, we'd have been lost. Without it, we'd still be lost. One thing that I did see in Minneapolis last week was a group of people who recognized God's strength and God's faithfulness in giving us that strength. Because of that, they had the faith and the strength to start LCMC. Oh, by the way, it's never the LCMC. We're told quite specifically that do not ever say the LCMC. We are LCMC. They were strong about it. But still, these people, they had the faith to adhere to Scripture, not to compromise with the culture. They listened to the words of Paul and others throughout the ages, all the way from Genesis to the end of Revelation. And as an association, which is what we're called, by the way, I finally got that definitively, we're in an association, not a denomination, they had all kinds of problems starting out, inner perils, but they continued on because, why? They had strength in God. And not just a saving faith, a big just, not just a saving faith, but a living faith, something they would continue to work on. If we care about others in this world, one thing we cannot do is be afraid. We have strength. We cannot be afraid. There's no cause. There's no need to ever be afraid. I've probably said this before, and I'll probably say it again. Do not fear, do not be afraid, something to that effect is the most common command in Scripture. God says it all the time. Don't be afraid. Because we should not be afraid, and with faith we will not be afraid, we need to live faithfully. Not in secret, but demonstrably to the world. I don't mean walk around every day with a Bible in your hand like this. Hey, look at me! But they will know we are Christians by our love. I've heard that somewhere recently. And by our actions. And by, you know, what we do. Not that we are redeemed or saved by good works, but as Christians we do good works. We cannot live in secret. In all that we do, no matter how important it may be, big quotes on important maybe, or how mundane it may be, big quotes on mundane. Basically, I mean, everything we do must be done and lived by faith and faithfully. We can do it. We have to do it for the sake of that world out there and for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can do it. We have to do it. There is strength in faith to get it done. Amen.